Hello and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo. Yes, we would love to hear from you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, I want to start today. We've been doing some Zoom meetings and things like that, and we had just a terrific week this week. One of them was talking about 30,000 minutes of news a year. 30,000 minutes is what we digest. And that's just too much. You know, when you think about that, 30,000 minutes is the average person. But that's not even the sad part. The sad part is that during periods of intense concern, we watch more, check our cell phones more. In other words, when we're tense, we seek more bad information. Now, I don't mean bad and wrong, although there's plenty of that. Bad news is what news is. It's not good stuff. Oh, occasionally you run into a feel-good story, but look, way over 90% is a death count. Whether it's a hurricane, it's a virus, tornadoes, whatever it is, floods, it's a death and destruction count. Constantly. When the markets go down, then we have to have more market news. The market's closed, but what do? We have another show and another show about the markets being unsettled. So we focus on long-term investments short-term. We think about them short-term. Well, they're down right now. Let me get more news about how they're down right now. 30,000 minutes a year. This is not something that can give people any insight or wisdom at all. It's just flat depressing, isn't it? It really is. And it's really hard to draw away. It's our human nature. Our human nature actually is to go out and seek more negative information. We want to know more bad stuff, even though we're already anxious. I mean, this makes no sense. I mean, if you're a shrink, you wouldn't say, okay, what makes you anxious? Well, I get really, really, really anxious. I'm claustrophobic. I get anxious inside of tight spaces. All right, here's what you need to do. You need to do more of that. I'm going to put you in a box. No. You wouldn't. I'm afraid of water. No, you might introduce them to water. Here's a glass of water. Here's a little puddle. Here's a pond. I get that. But the idea that we're making people better, or they're making themselves better, a little self-medication here, of watching more of what makes them anxious. By the way, it makes us all anxious. And I know we're all above that. But we're not, are we? We really aren't. It's really hard. We're wired wrong to perceive and have insight into these types of things. Yeah, I'm not talking about going out and saying, you know, I just read this white paper on the virus. I shared this a few weeks ago. And we've sent out a few to people. About research on this, why the numbers were wrong. This is weeks ago, by the way. It was fascinating. Why the numbers are wrong. You know, people talking about the virus is growing at 30% a day. And it couldn't be, because there were like, you know, 6 quadrillion people would have it already in the United States. By the way, I know it sounds like a made-up number. It's not. It's actually the mathematics of it since November 15th. But how many people really have it, right? That's a research paper. It's not what we watch. We watch body counts and we watch commentary, typically political, of course, right? Because by golly, you don't want to mess it with a good crisis. I mean, we should have a good new Green Deal when we're dealing with a virus. It's perfect timing for that. We should be talking about extending, you know, home, you know, if you have a baby, what is that? What am I trying to say? Your family care or whatever it is, family time. We should be extending that. Of course we should. We don't want to focus on one little thing. Like, how are we going to get out of this? 30,000 minutes of that is devastating to a human being. We have to be careful. Nobody watches CNBC, or very few, I should say, when markets are normal. Just, okay, go up a little bit. No plunging death spiral. In fact, if they're just going up, which they usually do, by the way, about 70% of the time the market's going up. 70%. I always like giving these stats real quick, okay? A little digression here, okay? So 70% of the weeks, the market's up. 70% of the years, the market's up. 70. And we go out 3 years, and it's like 85%. You go out 5 years, it's way over 90%. You go out 10 years, it's 98% of all rolling periods. And I don't believe there's a 20-year period at all that's even negative. Something that's given 10% return. 10% return for your entire life. And it doesn't matter if you're 30, if you're 43, you're 56, you're 72, you're 83. It doesn't matter. It's 10. It's this weird gravitational pull to 10. And you can do it for $50 a month, and you have no responsibility. Nothing's come close to 10. I mean, nothing is even remotely close to 10. And yet, what we do is that when the price you pay to get financially independent, because that's what the stock market does. Anybody that has ever invested in the market, left it alone, has become financially independent. That's just a fact of life. Everyone. I mean, you can do it for $50 a month. Cup of coffee a day, $150 a month. Boom. $1 million in 40 years. With no increase, right? I mean, 150 now, 150 30 years from now. No cost of living increase on those contributions. It's amazing. I mean, it's an inarguable thing, but then we take 30,000 minutes of noise, and it makes us wonder what we should do with our investments, rather than leaving them alone and having peace about it, that these are the bumps in the road that we have. It's amazing. But so we have to be careful of this, okay? So as we're talking about this and all the news and all those things, right? We got to be careful. Careful what our inputs are. Really careful, because there's an emotional twist right now. We're just knotted up. We are. We're scared. Nothing's right. Can't see the grandkids. Gonna die if you do. Spreading the disease, you stupid person. While we sit around and destroy the economy. Destroy it. And all the problems that come with it. Yeah, alcohol sales are up 55%. Yes, pot sales are at record levels. Why wouldn't they be? I'm a little tense too, aren't you? As we look at this, it's incredible what we're doing to ourselves. Is it right? Is it wrong? And we get all angry. The governor, that governor, he should have opened stuff up. He should this, he should that. Felt the same way. Kick in the gut. God. I know. It's one of those things you go, God, he's got all the information. He's not a dumb man. We can't open up to have a knee surgery now? Medical people can't even figure out how to wear a mask? Are you kidding me? These are questions that I want answered, but I'm not questioning the intelligence of it. I'm just going, really? Why don't you tell us why on some of these things? Maybe we can't gather, you know, but the general thing is we're just not feeling like we're getting answers, and sometimes there are no answers, right? We don't know. And so we seek more data, which is more negative, more fear, more anxiety. It's hard right now. So be careful what your inputs are. Be careful what your thoughts are. And when you read something that agrees with you or disagrees with you, don't either A, yeah, and read nothing else, or just call them stupid and don't read it. Let's try not to be political right now, because we've got plenty of that. We've got plenty of Pelosi doesn't even want to extend the PPP program. Why? Because it's time to do a new Green Deal, I guess. Will she pay a political price? Will the Democrats pay? I don't know. Don't seem to. It's impeachment all the time. Don't do anything but impeach. It's Donald Trump's virus. So we hope a lot of people die. We've got to stay away from that. And we do. Otherwise, we lose clarity. And we become more anxious. All right, I got to take a quick break. When we, you know what we're going to talk about a little bit today, too? I've been asked on this to make this comment about annuities. I'm not going to dive into annuities that much. We talk too much about it. It's like it gives them a basis. But I will say this. If you have a question, you can call about it. But I have offered this up, you know, to the question, to the point. How can they say these things? Why do you talk about it? The answer is, I've opened up these phone lines for over 30 years to anyone who wants to tell me how an equity indexed annuity is a great idea. 30 years. Still wide open. Take your calls. You want to argue about the beauty of a 3% cap equity indexed annuity and how that's good for seniors to put all their money in? I'm here. I'm still here. 30 years. 30 years. You know how many times people have called to question me, ask, debate the annuities? You're right. The equity indexed annuity pimps never call. Never call. But the lines are open. The offer is still there, as it has been for 30 years. We'll be right back to take your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Once again, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. If you prefer email, let's go to the phones. Jim, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
This is Dave?
Yes.
Dave, this is Jim. And boy, yeah.
Hi, Jim.
Just wanted to talk about good news today.
Good. I like it.
Good news. Over the last 2-3 weeks, the stock market, S&P 500, is up 15%.
Yes.
And you were mentioning that index annuities are limit you to 3%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll take that 12% in 2 years. I mean, two, three weeks, any day.
You bet.
So, I mean, it just points out how if you'd stayed in stocks, if you were in stocks, you've made a fair amount of it back right now. And that it, you've done much more than annuities, or if you got scared and went to cash, you're way ahead right now than if you went to cash sort of near the bottom of the curve in the stock market prices.
Mm-hmm.
The other area of really good news is the preliminary studies on remdesivir, and that there's really hope with that medicine that it shortens the symptoms and may save a lot of lives. We've got a couple more months of preliminary trials before we hear how effective it is when it's compared with other treatments. But that's giving a lot of hope to the to people that if they do get coronavirus, they'll be able to make it out of it.
Right.
And hopefully a lot less death and morbidity from it.
Without a doubt. It's interesting, Jim, that there's so much, if you will, attention paid to what the Fed is doing. And it was important for them to come through with the different backing up the credit markets to make sure they could function, right? Because nothing was bankrupt at this point, but they were about to trade that way because credit markets were so disrupted. But the idea of going to zero interest rates, I read two different people today that just plain old, in the journal, the Wall Street Journal, it was just, plain and simple. The Fed has caused this rally. It's like, no, it's not. It is not the Fed. If the Fed could do it, why isn't Europe, why isn't Japan in charge of the world? They have the lowest interest rates in the world. They're negative interest rates, so it must be a great idea. And the answer is it's not. We're at zero, and that's fine. We needed to do something and inject a lot of capital, and that part's very important to get in behind the scenes and create a real money market pool so banks could lend to each other overnight, things like that. So we don't have a 2008 crisis. So, on top of a medical crisis, we don't need a financial crisis. So that part was good. But the idea that we're up, as you point out, 15% in the last 2 weeks, and way more than that, with 25%, 26%, something like that, in the past, since the bottom of March 23rd. That's a lot. And to say, well, that's the Federal Reserve. It is not the Federal Reserve. It's, to your point, it's hope. We're going to have therapeutics. We're going to have great testing. We're all finding that maybe, just maybe, the people that said that somewhere around 6%, maybe more, of the population has already had it. So we are already having the herd. Why in the world in California do we just sit around and talk about how early they got to everything, when it was like a week earlier than other states? But they were the ones that were the epicenter, right? Because they have 5,000 to 6,000 Chinese per day flying back and forth from Wuhan and other places in China to California. What happened here, right? We're learning more as we're getting there. And that, to me, is why we're feeling like we're going to open up. Because even if our governor isn't opening up, again, I don't understand it. I don't understand a not partially opening, hospitals again. We actually put doctors and nurses back to work. They know how to wear masks. I don't know why we can't do that. But we're apparently going to wait two more weeks, and then we're going to figure all of it out. I don't get that. But what I do get about our governor is that he does have all the information. I don't. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I think the state, if you look at carefully at what the governor said and how the state's enforcing those rules, has given a lot of discretion to healthcare workers. I'm a healthcare worker, and we do outpatient surgery in our facility. And we're doing it. We're back to work, or we're still working. But we're taking precautions and using masks on patients as well as ourselves, hand sanitizer, and are doing temperature checks on everyone, including staff twice a day. And I think we're operating very safely.
Yeah.
And so as far as medicine, if they have their own facilities, either they're doing it now or they should be soon, because we're really sort of in phase one of the president's category, with 2 weeks of low daily new cases of coronavirus. And so I totally agree with you. I think we'll see the hospitals opening up their outpatient surgery soon with great precautions, and I think they can do it safely.
I do. So you're doing some, I'm sorry, we're down to about 10 seconds. You're doing some surgeries now?
Yes, I do outpatient surgery in our facility.
Okay, but not full bore, is that right? Are you guys going full bore?
I'm doing exactly what I did before.
Excellent. That's good news. That's great news. I know the hospitals aren't, but that's good that some are. Jim, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. You hear the music. And, of course, that means we're going to be heading to news at the top of the hour here. After that, we'll be back to talk about the market, the economy crashing. What's going on? We'll be back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. These, of course, are my opinions and my opinions only. And they're not this station, a broker-dealer, or anything like that. And, of course, we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. Honestly, I mean that sincerely. We're not here to give you the, you know, the disclosure gibberish at the speed of light. Seriously, don't take things out of context. If we're talking about why wouldn't you want to buy Google and Amazon, Apple, and the great corporations of the world, the ones that have boatloads of money, when they go down 25 or 30%, which they did, is a teaching thing. It doesn't say you should go own those companies. It's a teaching thing. We have such a struggle with pulling the trigger. We can sit back all the time and Monday morning quarterback. That's a beautiful, easy thing to do. But it is hard in the moment. Right? It is hard to say, you know, I can't wait. I wish I could have. Gosh, I missed Amazon. I missed Microsoft. I missed Facebook. I missed Google. If they would just pull back, you know, I can't get them at $100 a share. But, you know, if they just pull back 10%, then I'd feel better about buying them. And then they pull back 20%. We're like, but the world's in meltdown. I'm not going to do it. I mean, it's going to get worse. And then we all have the laundry list of reasons why we take the game book and pitch it. It's gone. The game book was buy when I get a bargain. No. You got to understand something. Very easy to do. And I get it, because we get caught up in the 30,000 minutes of news per year that we watch. We digest. More like it's barfed at us. It's already been digested. Often with a political bend. In other words, it's fake news. It is. It is. There's so much good news out there. We're seeing the market move, and that's the thing that, it doesn't move without bumps. This is the best 2 weeks we've had since the 1930s. Well, that's real groovy, okay? It was the fastest bear market. That's not so cool, right? But one of the things you have to understand at this and think about, we've had 22,000 jobs lost in 3 weeks. 22 million. We've never seen anything as horrendous as that. Not even close. Okay, let me see if I got that right. And the market's up 25% from its bottom during that? This makes no sense. Housing starts, slammed, stop, boom, forget it. In California, they arrest people for walking on the beach. What world are we in? They arrested a guy and his dog. What do they do with the dog? You know, like, you're in the pound for 6 months, dude, because you were, like, with that guy. Social distancing. Throw him away. Throw the key away. Bad, bad man. It's a weird world. It's a weird world. And the news is really bad. The body count. Let's count some more today. How many people died overnight? Isn't that the normal daily thing? Let's open the paper, hon, and let's see how many died today of coronavirus, shall we? That's how we begin our day. We got nothing else to do because you're stuck in your house. You bad man. How dare you talk to your neighbor, you bad person, you. Fortunately, we're not like that here, huh? Wow, can you imagine that? I mean, just terrible in Washington State and California, New York. You can't even go outside. Can't go to the park. Terrible. Why is a market up when the economy is crashing? Because it is crashing. We drove this bus off of a cliff. And we don't even know how far it's going to fall until it just... Where's the depression point? When do we open back up? And of course, they have to argue every day because we hate Trump. Since we hate Trump, we must try to destroy the economy. The economy's dying. Everybody's going to lose their job, and we're going to get rid of this guy. Oh, it'll be a depression. We'll never get out of the debt hole. All those things. But this is great. It's horrifying. And it frightens us. Why is the market going up when the economy's crashing? This isn't strange. It happens all the time. And what they always do, we all do, because we're human beings and this is what we have to have. I want to know why. Tell me why the sky is blue. I got to know why. Why did the market go up today? And we can't say hope. I don't know why. We got to say it's the Federal Reserve. It's earnings. It's something. It's blah, blah, blah. Something. It's oil prices declining. Whoops, that was bad news. I don't know what it is. Well, gasoline prices are low. Okay, well, but it was a devastating thing yesterday. And so, but today it's a good thing. Why? Because you have to explain. Why? Because we can't say hope. The markets move in anticipation of events. Not on the actual event that we already know, which is why what you know isn't worth knowing. I know that's hard to put that in your pipe and smoke it. It's really hard. That's tough medicine. What do you mean? I'm a smart person. I know stuff. I think it through. I read a lot. What do you mean what I know isn't worth knowing? Blah. Because everybody knows it. It's already priced in. Rule number one of my Ten Commandments. They're mine. They don't have to be yours. Dave, what you know isn't worth knowing. You have to search deeper and find things that people, quotes, know, but aren't true. Oh, wow. All right, so let me take a stab at what we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks. The doomsdayers are wrong. Now, why do I say that? You're not an epidemiologist. You don't know the future. In fact, you say that all the time. What are you talking about? I do say it all the time. I don't know what's going to happen. But what I do know is this is America. And I also know how innovative, creative we are. I also know that we have a zillion really, really smart people trying to figure out and solve the problems. The rest is noise. And I also know that whenever that hurricane that's going to hit South Carolina, or is it North Carolina, or is it the coast of Florida, or coming right up the Gulf, is going to wipe out the entire state of South Carolina. You won't even recognize it. It's going to be so devastatingly bad that it never is. Never is. It'll be years before it comes back. Really? Wow, it's weird that next month they're golfing. Always like that. And the idea that we can't learn from what's going on around the world, or we're just going to be exactly like Italy, which doesn't have enough hospitals. That's a horrible hospital system. It's nothing like America, but that's going to be us. We're going to run out of ventilators. No, we're not. We're going to run out of hospital beds. We're not even using the ones that they built. Now the hospitals everywhere are empty. But that's all right. The epidemiologists get to be right. It's because we behaved so well. Not because they were wrong. Their models were never wrong that 2 million people were going to die. There was 200,000. No, it's 90,000. No, it's 70. It's 60. They change them every day. They change them all the time. What we know isn't worth knowing, and the market is reacting to unknown things. How about this? There is hope. there's therapeutics because of all those really smart people that are doing it, because this is America. In the greatest time that human beings have ever been alive, that's what this is. We're creative, we're innovative, we're something else. Something the world's never seen. And when we need a ship, we need a hospital, they can build it in 2 days. You need ventilators, they're there. That's what we do. But then we still always talk about the worst case scenario. Always. Number one, it's a driver of news. Number two, you're a human being. You expect stuff to jump out of the bush and eat you because that's how you're wired. It's not the world we live in, though. And it's hard. And it's really hard to wrap our minds around this idea that the market is not reflecting what you just heard, which is a historic report of what happened yesterday called news. It's really old, but it's not new. It's what happened. X amount of bodies are buried. X amount of hospitals are having a bit of a struggle right now. Do they ever tell you about the other 99.9% of the hospitals that aren't struggling, even in New York? No, that's not a historic report that anybody cares about. But it's true. And I'm not diminishing life, and I'm sure that's an easy thing to anybody that's talking positively about the future, positively about what markets are doing, looking forward to therapies, unlocking this economy again. Unlocking human creativity. Anybody that does that, if you are living in Liberalville and hate that, then I've already been discounted that I hate life. I just don't care about the people that are dying. Which is, of course, not true. It's a balance between the people that are dying of an illness, that are going to die of an illness. We're going to stop this because we stay at home, but we go to grocery stores? And somehow it doesn't spread? At a grocery store, it's like a special area that it's got a little blanket around it where you can go get groceries, and if you've got a head of lettuce in your cart, there's no way coronavirus can touch you. But you can't go see your neighbor who doesn't appear to be symptomatic at all. It's still there. I get all that. But we have to balance that for the people that are very depressed, perhaps suicidal, or are suicidal. People that are in pain and can't get the elective surgeries done. The guy that lost his business, the guy that can't make the rent, the single mother that doesn't know what she's going to do. My wife has a couple of friends, and they're in really tough circumstances, but also a couple of them are recently married. And their conversation is, if this happened 3 years ago, I don't know what I would do. How many thousands, millions of people are like that? We have to care about all of them and open this thing up. And that's what the market's saying. We're moving forward to a future path that doesn't look like depression. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say that. It really isn't the Fed. Do they hurt? No. Can they help? Of course. Print some money, buy some bonds, make the credit markets good. But if zero interest rates are what drives the stock market, then I would guess negative interest rates in Germany spells all-time highs for theirs and vast outperformance to the little old United States of America. Wrong again. Negative interest rates have done nothing to help the economy. And certainly the markets in Europe that have vastly underperformed the United States over the past 10 years. It's not even close. Any foreign investment you have stinks. Shouldn't have owned it. diversification, bad idea if it's foreign. Was. It's something you should have. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just saying it hasn't worked. But we don't have those discussions. We don't talk about the understanding of why is a market up and the economy is crashing. Think 2009. Stock market bottomed on March 9th of 2009. And the news for the next several months was more unemployed. We marched all the way over 10% unemployment. And in 90 days from March 9th, the stock market was up 45% on nothing but bad news, because it looked like we're going to come out the other side. Not because of the Fed. Not because of QE 1, 2, 3, or 4. Not. Because we were coming out the other side. I'm not sure why we can't have that and why we don't believe that. Because it happens every time. But that's exactly what's going on. If you roll the clock back 8 weeks to the start of this mess in the markets, the coronavirus wasn't even in Idaho at all. Barely in the United States. And the market's tanking in anticipation of things getting bad. It bottoms in the heat of the real bad news. And we're up as we're thinking out the other side. It's hard to wrap our minds around that. But when we really tell ourselves and ask ourselves, feel that when we're actually reading something and thinking we have insight into something, to stop and say, what I know isn't worth knowing. It's not like you're going to come up with a whole lot of really amazing things in a year that are insightful. Different than what other people know, what's already priced in. But you can have a few of those. You can. If you saw and believed in America, the basic thing that was right in front of you all of your life, that we were going to solve problems, that there's really bright people, lots of money, lots of talent, and everybody is laser beam focused on one thing, get the virus. The good stuff would happen. Might take a few weeks, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen quicker than they say, and less people are going to die. All of those things are true. If you believe in that, and most people don't, because 30,000 minutes of news will wreck your attitude, because we're human. We just can't have that coming at us like a fire hose. And not feel it. You're going to feel it. And it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel hopeful. It's hard. And it's a tough time. But this is America. And we are going to come out the other side. And we're going to do it quick. We saw Texas open up. We're going to see other states open up. This state's going to start opening up. And they're trying it with a curbside thing. Maybe, just maybe, even before the 2 weeks are up, we're going to see them opening up the doctor's offices again that know exactly how to handle this. We can do this, and we will. And even if it takes 2 weeks, we're going to get started. That's so critical to not having all of the businesses die. And that's what the market's reflecting, is we're opening up again. We will be. And they see the other side is getting better. Not perfect. Better. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Bob, Jim, hang on. I got to grab you on the other side of this break. We're getting way behind. And our email address is dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And if you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. If you want to get a hold of us during the week, it's easy. It's at petsofinancial.com. And obviously, we've got podcasts there. I shouldn't say obviously. Maybe you didn't know that. But lots of people have grabbed those over there. We try to get this week there on Tuesday. And I think that's pretty steady now. But we've got lots of from archive from the past, as well as articles and calculators to help you with your financial planning. And shoot us an email. We'd love to know what's on your mind. Let's go to Bob and find out what's on his mind. Bob, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So in talking about how people behave, we've seen changes how people have been functioning day to day. If you relate that behavior to business going forward, can we expect any significant changes? I don't recall if we had many changes how people function or how new businesses started from 2000 or 2008.
Mm-hmm.
We see people are maybe they're happy at home with Netflix, people like home delivery. Do you think this is just a blip on how we function related to new businesses or growth businesses, or Amazon's going to fly, Netflix is going to fly, people are going to love home delivery, people are going to love telemedicine, I think, should grow, and
mm-hmm.
or teleconferencing. What do you think may happen? Is this just a little blip? People are going to go back to how things were. Are they going to find new things that are going to happen, and we're going to see an explosion of new businesses related to that?
I think we'll see an explosion of new businesses related to it, as well as some of it going back, right? So you're not going to see people that aren't going to want to travel again, for example. I don't think we're going to telecommute or never be in front of people. But I absolutely think that the number of conferences is going to diminish, right? So instead of like two or three annual conferences that you might see more like one, right? I think you're going to see the convention business in very serious decline, not zero in decline. I do think that you're going to see some adjustment, whether it's people not working at the office 5 days a week, maybe it's three or four. But I'll tell you what, from a personal perspective, and yeah, I'm a people person. The people I work with are people persons as well. I'm sure that's not quite grammatically correct, but we all need each other, and human beings do. And those people that don't really think they do, they need them more than other people. We all know that. People that are depressed want to be alone. What's the worst thing to be when you're depressed? Alone. We all know that. And so we hope that those people will get out and get out in the world again. But I think it's a larger than a little blip. This is a big blip, and we're going to see some new businesses on popping up. And I think you saw an immediate thing there. What was it? Verizon bought some company called Blue Jeans, I think. And it's not a big blockbuster deal out there, but what they're saying is we are getting into the teleconference business. They're in it. We are going to grow with them in this and partner with them to grow that business. That wouldn't have happened in a vacuum, right? They're seeing a future there. I think it always was there. This is a push to go there. What about Amazon? Yeah. Does this just push them more to shut down the stores? Of course it is. But that was already in place. So this is an acceleration in my mind. But it's a very good point, Bob. I think we're going to see the future of business is going to be a little bit different, and it'll be different in ways that we can't quite imagine yet. The one that's going to be that is wonderful to me, right, is the telemedicine, because that's going to drive the cost down. And this is what one of the things that I've been talking about, as you well know, for years, is that at some point, I know, and this is why I like groups like Salzer, Allquist, and Primary Health, because they're fighting these massive, bureaucratic, expensive, off-the-rails hospitals that own everything. And they're fighting them with private market solutions and helping keep costs down. And then we also have innovation and creation within creativity within all kinds of areas of medical devices. And so technology is going to help solve that healthcare cost problem. And this is going to be a big part of it in my mind. Why go see a doctor if you can have telemedicine take care of? I don't know what the percentage is, but let's pretend it's 80%. And then we only have 20% of the people that have to go see that doctor to make sure they're okay. Cost curves are going to get bent. Bob, thank you so much for your call.
Okay.
I appreciate it. I appreciate your insight.
Thanks.
And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Sorry, but we've got to run here to Fox News, bottom of the hour. And Jim, hang on. You're up next. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. If you have any comments or questions, love to hear from you. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Jim, thank you for holding forever, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was one hell of a long news break.
Wasn't it? I couldn't.
It was.
I know. That's good we're selling out commercials, but I didn't know it was like six-minute commercial block.
I remember the good old days when you guys weren't quite so popular and there was more actual, less commercials.
Hey, coronavirus is good for us, man.
Anyway, I was going to say, back in the early 70s, I got to travel all over South America, Central America, and the Caribbean as an auditor with B of A. And luckily, that was before a lot of this techno crap came along. I don't know if they can do audits via techno conferencing, but we got to fly all over the place first class, so thank heavens for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as far as the stock market goes, we all know it's illogical. I mean, it should be logical. The stocks are ownership. The stock price should be based on how well the corporation is doing. The corporation is doing how well the economy is doing. But then you throw emotion in. Okay, the market goes down. You're talking about hope. You know, and I suppose the opposite of that is no hope.
Mm-hmm.
So the market goes down. Okay, if there's no hope, the market goes down further. Then why the hell sell, right?
Right.
I mean, there's no hope. So what good is money going to do you?
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do? You also get what they call exhausted selling, right? I mean, they're just done selling. The people that are left owning it are the people that want to own that company, period.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I want to own Google. Go ahead and take the price down to $800. I'm going to still own it.
Well,
and
I
then
got
at some
like
point,
you,
people don't sell.
I buy stocks to own it because I want to own the company.
Right.
And again, you know, diversify. If you need some cash, put it aside, whatever.
Yep.
But, if there's a pretty safe bet that if the U.S. and if the world is going to still be around, that company will be, then, you know, don't sell it.
Exactly.
Anyway, it doesn't make logical sense, but... Like you say, they're going. I mean, that's when you get to. Well, I don't know. I bought a few things. Delta still needs to make a comeback, but I got Kansas City Southern at 110. I should have waited till 92, but you know. But the thing is too about the waiting. Put in a buy order.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Then it takes the emotion out, and then you don't have to say, well, if it went down this low, maybe it'll go down that low.
You know,
you figure a certain point, put in a buy order, and then don't worry about it.
I think that's the thing that people have to recognize is part of the learning process of this of investing, right? Especially, really nailing investing, right? Like I'm going to get rich at this, okay? That's
right.
Not day trading. What I'm talking about is when you see this happen, which only occurs on average about once every 10 years, you get complete dislocations of price to value. Do I want to own JP Morgan Bank off 40%? Yeah, I do. Right? They were great before. Are they going to be okay before? Now, do I want to own this company over here off 80 or 90% that may not survive?
Right.
Not necessarily. Different ball game, right? But if you really are able to emotionally set aside the deluge, the fire hose of body counts. It's going to be terrible. This could be years. We're not going to move from our house till we have a vaccine. And it's like I'm going, vaccine? I get a flu shot and people still get the flu. What is it like? Like it's one-third successful, right? Never more than half. And so that means never, because we're never going to have something. So it depends on what you grab onto for news. But what I'm saying is when you get this kind of price break, when the greatest companies, I mean the highest quality ones, lose a third of their value, this is, can you pull the trigger? or are you going to stand on the sidelines? Because if you can't buy now, you never will. That right. is the fundamental problem. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't just buy. Buy in your 401k. Just keep going. All-time highs, don't care. Keep adding. Keep going. The time to buy is now. But if you really get it, then what you really do is you find a few dollars somewhere to add one high-quality company that you haven't or you have an underinvestment in when you get these kind of price breaks. That's what the great investors do. And that is really tough to do. It is in the deluge of news. But when we think about it in hindsight, it's like, how did I miss that? I should have been buying.
One thing, like I said, I buy kind of strangely here and there. Anyway, I got United Technologies, and as I understand it, they merged with Raytheon, I guess it was.
Well, they bought Raytheon. They merged with them, and then they broke it up. So,
and then they spun off Carrier and Otis.
Correct.
And so Edward Jones recommended saving Carrier but selling Otis. But I'm going with the name. I mean, Otis Elevators has been around forever, so I'm not going to sell. So
there you go. Well, you know, it's hard to say when companies come off and they're little pieces like that. Are they going to have great managers that figure out how to run that enterprise better because that's their entire focus, not a big conglomerate like UTX was?
Well, a while back I got Energizer, you know, the batteries, the bank.
Yep.
And they had something, Halliburton or something like that, personal care products. They spun off the personal care. My opinion is they put all their debt into that, and so it went down like a rock.
Yeah.
So I sold them, but I mean, I think that's a lot of times what corporations do.
A lot of times, 6 months after is a really great time to buy the stubs, historically. But you got to know what you're doing. That's not always true. Sometimes those little stubs of companies are like the Hewlett-Packard ones, right? Little stubs, nobody knows what's going on, and they just disintegrate into nothing. That's what they can do. Some of them can be good. But, yeah, you have to do your homework and figure out what to keep. Jim, I got a roll.
Take care.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yep. All right. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We've got lots of time to take your calls. Our final segment is upcoming. Yeah, this has been fun. It really is. It's really fun being with you all. On Saturdays, you know, I've just really enjoyed that part of this. And it just... it feels like these couple hours just go so fast. If you have comments, questions, we'd love to hear from you, and we're happy to do so. And again, if you want to join any of our Zoom meetings during the week, we're happy to let you in if you want to. It's fine. We want to make information available to folks, but we've enjoyed doing that with our clients as well. If you do, you can also shoot us an email, and we'll be happy to send you the link. Our number here is 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, during the week, if you want, obviously, you can go to our website. I shouldn't say obviously. You can, though. It's possible. It's at petsofinancial.com. And there you will find articles and calculators to help you with your financial planning. You'll also, very importantly, be able to shoot us an email, because we'd love to hear from you. What do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? That's what we want to talk about. We really do. I'll have certain things and that I want to talk about, and we'll get to those. We always seem to, right? Real quickly here, before we go to Terry, we've got an email here. Wow, Dave, Little really is Chicken Little. No one has died from going to the grocery store the past month. No need to keep many businesses shut down. Hospitals are mostly vacant. The state will be short of even more revenue now. When is the next election? Well, okay. So thank you for that. And I, as I mentioned before, I feel gut punched too. I think we needed a better explanation as to why. Not we're going to keep doing the same thing because we got to remain safe. We got to do this. I get that. But why can't we open up some things? If we can't open up to go see our doctor again, to go have elective surgeries again at the hospitals and employ the doctors and nurses again, why not? Why with medical people that know how to be safe, why can't they? Right? If it's time, I we need that. Why can't we get a haircut and everybody wears a mask? I don't know, but could there be some rules that are in place? I don't know. I just need a better explanation. I think the state does, because clearly the infection is not here like it is in New York, but we're acting pretty close to the same. It's not, it, we need explanation, but I do, I appreciate your frustration. I share some of that, but the difference I think for me is that I know that Brad Little has the best interest of the state in mind, and he's making a different decision maybe because he has different facts in front of him than I do. So I just don't question it in the same level. I just wish that there was a better explanation as to why. I don't want to tweet about it. I want to understand why this week we're not starting on one thing, and next week we're on another, and the next week on the other. We need to understand that. We do, because it does not make sense to us just seeing that. Okay, so anyway, thank you very much. And if you have any other comments, of course, that's dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go to Terry. Terry, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, sir.
What you just said sort of reminds me of the old military days about the need to know versus the want to know.
Mm, good. I like that. Yeah.
You know, I that really reminds don't me have too. A need to know everything.
Yeah, I know. I know. We don't. We don't need to. But we have to understand when decisions affect our life so severely. We're not children. It's not okay to just say, this is the rule, because we need to be safe.
We've just graduated too many lawyers out of Moscow to... Oh, pardon me. I'm falling into political stuff again.
Yep. But, all right. What do you got on your mind, big guy?
Well, I'm just about the good news thing. I've got what I believe to be a pair of Cooper's Hawks hanging out in my neighbor's tree.
Mm.
So I'm going to have the state troopers probably come by. Don't tell the governor this, but I'm going to have to go talk to my neighbor. Because when I'm standing on my front porch with my binoculars, I don't want him to get nervous about me.
That's right. That's right. You got to be careful about that. That's right.
But, no, I had the biggest thing on the money side is how to give it away these days.
Yeah.
It's piling up and piling up and trying to find the best place to give it to. There's just so many people in need.
There is. There really is. And it's, you know, one of the things that changed for me and Terry, and I appreciate your heart is terrific along those lines. It really is, where you're really looking for a place to help out and help people. And for me, it was something that just a couple, probably 2-3 weeks ago that really changed for me personally, when it was like, are you really going to hunker down, or are you going to give wherever you can immediately, right? Just react to that. And it's not a natural reaction. I think things through and what I want to do. But one of the things that I really, that I did, even though it isn't a very convenient time, right, to give to the rescue mission or your church and other organizations, Stanton, is struggling. All of these places are really struggling, and they deal with people that are in bad circumstances all the time. It's who's in front of them. Churches aren't open, so, you know, how full is the plate? But they still have to pay their bills. And so it is one of those circumstances now where, for those of us that can, we really need to step up. But one of the things that I've found is that it really does me a lot of good, right? It's just, it feels good. You do this naturally, Terry. It's harder for me. I gotta stop thinking through and just react and go do.
Well, it's the nature of a money manager to hold on to it. So.
Right. A little too tightly sometimes. A little too tightly. It is one of those things where we just, I'm not telling people that they have to go love the rescue mission, but those people are on the front lines, and they're hurting. They're hurting right now for finances.
And that brings up another sideline. Saw a story on the motel that they're taking over for the homeless guys.
Yeah.
And expecting $70,000 to pay for that coming from the federal government after the federal government drops a $4 trillion tax burden on us, and I'm wondering when's that money going to run out?
Well, it already has for the PPP, but don't worry, Nancy. We'll see if she can get some more in there for the Kennedy Center, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we need that. That has a lot to do with and the arts. That has a ton to do. And Green New Deals and getting some emissions things
the
on Kennedy, airlines. That's really important right now.
The Kennedy Center got their money, and then they laid off all their musicians.
I know. I heard that, too. That was kind of a really wow. No
yeah,
kidding.
Here, trust me. I'm here to help.
Yeah, wow, that just blew me away. Blew me away. But
anyway
yeah.
I just wanted to call up and say you're doing well, and heck, let's just be happy and do the best we can.
Well, and you're doing it. So thank you for that reminder, too, Terry. I appreciate it.
All right, take care,
have a great
sir.
Day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we're just about out of time, but I once again want to say if you were trying to get a hold of us or have a comment, a question, we'd love to hear from you. And if you do want to, you know, a link to a Zoom meeting or something, I can't remember what we're going to talk about this week, but it'll be something really amazing. I'm sure it'll be something to talk about. But once again, I want to kind of put this out there and recognize this as we started our program talking about this today. There's 30,000 minutes of news per year. 30,000. That's the average what we listen to a year. And I would certainly guess it's way more now. Way more. And we need to be careful. It drives us to do the wrong thing. We've talked about this, and I'm sorry, I don't have time to get to it. I promised I would talk about if you have an annuity question. I'll explain what the caps are next week, okay, what they mean, but in more detail. But understand this. When they say there's a 3% cap, as I was talking with one of our callers earlier, that's all that it'll do, no matter what the market does. You only get 3. You can't tie up your money like that. It doesn't make sense, and you know that. So don't be driven in a time of fear to fear-based products. We'll talk more about it, of course. Everybody, God bless, and have a great and safe weekend.